I want to use the project or the TV up here. And I had mentioned we want to start getting into outlining, right? And so we see a big book and or a big section of scripture or something we're studying, and sometimes we're intimidated by that. But what outlining will enable you to do is begin to categorize that and bring that down to size so you can study it in little parts and then just connect those parts. And that is how you'll ultimately really get a good handle on some things in Scripture to include the whole Bible. You can outline the whole Bible in a way that it'll really help that thing be more functional for you to use and all that. So you must have a habit of daily Bible study. And so that outline that he gives here would be establish a time, establish a place, have some basic study tools, have a notebook and pen, have a pen and a pencil for marking your Bible, have a reading plan, study with prayer, try to get something practical each day, maintain a prayer diary. So that's a really good kind of outline. And then as you go through this section, it'll list each of those and kind of break those down. I don't believe we in this class need to go through each and every one of these items, but there is some wisdom to what's being put forth here. The root word of disciple is discipline. Being disciplined. We talk about being a disciple, we're talking about building disciplines in people's life. When you hear the word discipline, what do you think of? Correction. Okay. Whack. Right? Is that discipline? Is that what you think of? Yeah. You know, what's funny about the thought of discipline isn't always about correcting something that's wrong. It's just the positive side of that is we're just trying to be faithful in what's right, right? Now, the counter to that, ultimately, we need to put off some things that are wrong and all that. But you don't always have to focus on the wrong in order to do right, right? Remember, the way that we live as a Christian, so before you were saved, sin had to become exceeding sinful to you, right? That's what it says in Romans 7. And because it's our schoolmaster, right? The law's our schoolmaster. The failing of that law, the transgression of the law is sin, right? And so we focus on our condition so that we can understand it and then be interested in the cure, right? And the cure of cures is Jesus. But once we've come to Christ, our focus is to be looking unto Jesus, right? We're to know the error. Is that what it says, know the error? No, it says know the truth. We're to know the truth, and then we'll be made free, right? If you, like in a bank, and you're trying to study money so you'll know a counterfeit, you don't study the counterfeit, you study the real thing, right? We study the real thing, and then anything that's wrong stands out like a sore thumb, right? And so as a Christian, be very careful that people around you don't cause you to focus on sin, because what happens is you will get a very negative outlook on everything. You'll become very critical. You become hypercritical over everything. And then let me ask you this. Who do you think wants to magnify sin? Do you think God wants sin magnified or the devil wants sin magnified? The devil does. I don't want to help him out, right? And so Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me, right? We lift up truth. Remember, it is the goodness of God that leadeth thee to repentance. All right. And so once we get saved, we build good disciplines, right? And discipline's no longer a bad word. For a child, discipline's a bad word, right? Because a kid would say, man, I'm always in trouble, right? And always getting in trouble, always being corrected, you know, always being told they're wrong and all that. But once you become an adult, hopefully that's not what you're hearing all the time. If that is what you're hearing all the time, that's a very bad relationship you have with that other adult. If you're married and all they ever do is tell you what you do wrong, how's that relationship working out for you? not good. It's not good. Because that's not how we relate now as adults, right? We major on truth. We major on what's right. We strive together, right? And we're looking unto Jesus. So when you hear the word discipline and disciple as an adult, I want you to think about being faithful, right? I'm being disciplined. Eating the right thing is about discipline, right? Putting the right things before our eyes is about being disciplined, right? Going the right places and not being around the wrong people and places and things is about being disciplined, right? I know what's right, and I'm just going to stay on that narrow path. I'm disciplined, right? So that's what it means, and that's what we're trying to do with people as we disciple them. We are building good, godly disciplines in their life. Is coming to church a good discipline? Absolutely. Do you know why? Do you know all the reasons why you need to be faithful to church? I don't either. I don't know. But I know God says it's important. And that's enough. Forsaking not the assembling of ourselves together. And by the way, it says, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So we always try to say, well, I go to that because, and we give reason and all that. Honestly, as you grow in maturity as a Christian, God saying it's important is enough, right? And how many times did you not want to be here, and then you came, and then something happened, you're like, man, I'm so glad I came, right? Because I needed that, right? Whatever. I needed to hear that from the message, or somebody said this to me and all that. It just worked out, or someone came that I had invited. Boy, if I wasn't there, that would have been bad, right? And on and on and on and on. But we don't know all the reasons why we need to be at church, but we know God says that is a good, godly discipline to have in your life. Amen? Reading the Bible is the same way. You're not going to want to read your Bible every day, right? But you need to, right? And do you pray every day? Absolutely, right? That's us talking to God. Reading our Bible is God talking to us. And do you think we need to have more of us talking to God or more of God talking to us? We really need more of God talking to us because he's smarter than us. And he knows what's around the corner, right? He knows what's around next week. He knows what's going to be happening next December. I have no clue, but he knows the way that I take, right? And when I am tried, I will come forth as gold, right? Who tries me? He tries me. So all these things we're talking about, building discipline. So on our sheet here, having a time, establishing a time and a place for Bible study is a good godly discipline. If you don't establish a time, are you likely to make the time? You will, some. Right, but it'll be inconsistent, right? It'll be inconsistent. And so we want to establish a time. When's a good time for you to study the Bible, read the Bible? Anybody? Well, but you can't do that, right? And that would be great, but where's Patricia? Man, she's just reading her Bible. Why isn't she at church? But she's just reading her Bible, right? So all the time sounds good, but we need to establish a time. Carol?
In the morning with my first cup of coffee.
Okay. That's so you've connected it with, now when I sit down to have that first cup of coffee, I'm reading my Bible. See, that's great. That's an established time because we know Carol's going to have coffee, right? Me too, by the way. And so if I connect it with the task I'm already doing in Faithful Inn, man, I'm going to stick with that. Hannah?
Ideally in the mornings, but even if it's not, if it can't be, then just one, like if you sit down for lunch, just get your Bible out. You're already sitting.
True. So you need to have a backup plan, right? My plan is here, but if I miss that, it's here. Yes?
I was going to say the same. I know it's better to read in the morning, but I'm definitely more consistent doing it over my lunch break because I know it's a scheduled time during my day.
Okay. Amen. And there, for all of us, it's a little bit different. Yes, Jessica?
Where I'm not rushed, feeling disciplined at night.
Because in the morning, you're probably rushed. Just a little. So at night is better for you. Okay. And we need to be consistent with that. And we're probably going to go to bed at some point, right? And by the way, if you have problems sleeping, Read your Bible before you go to bed, right? And that'll help you, right? And that'll help you to, it'll calm you down. It'll put your focus on the Lord. God will give you something in that Bible to think on, and you'll go to bed not thinking about the world collapsing, but you'll go to bed thinking about some scriptural truth. Amen? Yes?
I'll just say, whenever I have dreams, it's usually I dream about things that I did or thought about right before.
That's right. That's right. And you can control that. And by the way, if you're having a hard time sleeping, and just get up for a minute or pull out your phone or whatever and read some scripture, right? And ask God where to kind of turn to and all that. And he gives his beloved sleep. He does. And so, and I find that if I start reading my Bible, before I know it, I'm asleep anyway. And that's fine, because I'm not trying to get my Bible reading in then. I'm just wanting to spend a little time with the Lord. Next thing I know, I'm waking up and it's in the morning. I'm like, whoa, that's awesome. Awesome. And so whatever works for you. Does someone else have a, over here? No? Yes. What's that?
Praying.
So you can connect. It's a natural thing to connect praying and reading your Bible together. And I would recommend that you pray before you read your Bible and after you read your Bible, right? Because before, we're praying for wisdom, direction. We're asking God to help us to understand. That's scriptural. And then afterwards, then we're going to pray everything else that God maybe put on our heart while we're reading. Those things you jotted down, things like that, things for your day. So it's really good to do that too. So if you connect prayer and Bible reading together, that's a real good thing. So a place. Do you guys have a place when you read and study your Bible? Or is it anywhere? Sounds like Kyle's more at work. Okay. Okay. You're not being bothered by a bunch of things?
No?
Okay.
The way our room is, like, I can just go over in a corner.
Okay.
And I got, like, my little private space.
Amen. Yes. Amen. Just.
My bed and my shower.
Your shower?
Well, I listen.
That's interesting. Okay, okay. Try and picture her. Yeah. Yeah, she has a waterproof Bible. No, what's funny about that is our kids, what they do is for the rally, they put a rally sheet in the shower and a sheet protector, and it's on the back wall of the shower. So I'm picturing them and they're memorizing scripture. So, hey, whatever works for you. Shower's a pretty private place. It should be anyway. Amen. Amen. Anybody else have a different place than that? Top that. Amen. Carol. That's right. That's what she's saying. Yes.
Yep.
We're picking on Jessica, but she did say that she listens to the Bible while in the shower. So that's good. And in the car is good. That's great. And I've been challenged that way recently. Instead of music or whatever else, I just kick on. I have that. It's called Holy Bible. U version is, yeah. And then I have that Bluetooth to my car, and then it just plays over the thing. Yes, same thing.
I've got several Bible apps. In fact, I recommended one to a friend, but he's not real tech savvy. And last night I spent 3 hours on the phone with him explaining how to use it.
Oh, wow.
And him practice and going back and forth.
Yeah.
To pick it up. But I listen to the Bible. I use the Scorby app. And
you like how he talks.
Yes, I
yeah.
do. I like the way he reads it,
yeah.
the pronunciation and all that.
Yep.
But I use that app, and I've used it in the car on trips. I've used it in airplanes. I use it every morning in the shower. I listen to it all the time.
You're another one of those. That's good.
I do. I listen to it in the shower, and then in the car sometimes when I'm driving, and I found that I not only use it for regular Bible reading and study, different things, but I use the reading app, or I don't know what you call it, reading schedule app.
Oh, yeah.
But what I really like about that app is he's got a chronological reading plan, and so you can go through it in the history of what happens in the Bible rather than just in Bible book order. And last year, I listened to the Bible along with other Bible study and everything else. I listened to the Bible 3.5 times.
Amen.
And this year, in the last month and a half, I'm 2/3 of the way through the Bible now already.
Wow.
So,
And if you struggle with words and all that, get a good app and then you read along with it. And that'll really help you kind of learn how to pronounce those words and things like that. They will, yeah. And so those are great things. Okay, we're going to come back to this next week on that, and we'll finish looking at that. I've kind of underlined where we're at on this. And but for now, I had mentioned outlining, and what was ironic was I actually, I was just going through some of my books and putting stuff away and all that, and I found this from Scofield, Bible Study Outlines. And this book is just about outlining. It's just about outlines. It's pretty neat, actually. And I was just looking to see the difference between how he outlines and how I would. And there's definitely some differences because there's really not a right or a wrong way to outline necessarily. It's based on how you perceive that text and how you kind of categorize things. And all of our minds work just a little bit differently. So something's going to stand out to you maybe a little differently than for me. And so in this particular, I went ahead and just outlined Genesis chapter 1. You can go ahead and turn over to Genesis 1. And you might know it well. You might not need to actually look at your Bible concerning Genesis 1. But in Genesis 1, it's a very easy text to pick to outline. And I want to ask that, because we got about 9 minutes left in class, I want to ask that maybe you pick out a text of Scripture this week and you outline it and then bring that to class next week, and then you can share with us how you would outline a text. Because I think that's going to help different ones. And so I'm very, believe it or not, I'm very simplistic in how I outline. And I try to stay true to the Word of God. Like there are a lot of preachers, I guess they call it alliterate, right? When they give an outline or whatever, they want every key word to have the same first letter, right? And so, like if you would outline something, D might be the letter, right? And then you have devil and deception and I don't know. Anyway, I'm not good at that. I've wanted to be good at that, because you hear these preachers and you're thinking, man, that guy's like a real preacher who can come up with these amazing outlines based on alliteration. I've prayed and God said, he's literally told me, no, that is not going to be what you do. And what God has moved me to do is this: whatever the word is in the Bible that stands out, that's the word you use, right? So that when people hear the preaching, if they remember the points, and I don't always preach with points, but if they remember the points, they've now remembered the word of God. Now, that's how God's moved in my heart. And I don't know. What was funny was we were at a place this last year, and there's a bunch of preachers there. We're sitting around. It was outside. And we're sitting around in chairs just chatting back and forth. And these preachers are talking about alliterating and all that. I can barely say the word. And I chimed in. You talk about being intimidated, Jessica, in certain environments. You sit around different preachers. A lot of these preachers, more time than me, you know, whatever. And I said, I don't even know why I felt moved to say it. And I said, I'll be honest with you. I said, God has never given me liberty to alliterate like that. And they laugh at you and all that, which is fine. Preachers laugh at preachers. And I said, so what God, and I kind of gave him a testimony of how God's moved me. And then this other preacher who was sitting back, I think felt intimidated too, spoke up and said, God has done the same thing with me. I have no liberty to live. It was amazing. And then I gained a friend. Amen. And we actually had something in common along those lines. But again, it's how God, as you pray about how God wants you, he knows how your mind works, how you can remember these things and you can order these things. So in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Amen. That's verse number one. Who can read verse two? Genesis 1:2, Hannah.
And the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters.
Amen. And so I titled my outline here, if you can see that, Outlining the Scriptures. And by the way, up here I just said there's two different ways to outline a passage like we're doing right now, or topical. Topical is totally different. That requires a lot more work. We'll tackle that one next. Not now, but in the weeks to come. But outlining a passage, I titled this, very simply, chapter 1, the 6 days of creation. Amen. That's all it is. It's just the 6 days of creation. And so that's my title to it. Now we're going to begin to outline. This section would be In the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. You say, well, that's what the Bible said. I know that's what the Bible said. That's how I outline, amen, with what the Bible says. And so, in the beginning, God created heaven and the earth. So, we're going to break that down. How did he create in the beginning? Well, what was the condition of the earth in the beginning? The earth was without form and void. That was in the beginning. Darkness was upon the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the waters. Say, where did you get all that? Just from the text, right? That's the condition of the things there as God began to create. All right? Who wants to read verses number 3 through 5? Patricia.
And God said, let there be light, and there was light.
Keep on going. Two more verses.
And God saw the light, that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. Go on.
Yep, one more verse. All right, and so this is day one, right? 6 days of creation. What was the condition? Got that. Then day one. In day one, God created light and darkness. Now, I know in this particular text, it doesn't say that he created darkness, but elsewhere it does. And so he created light, and then he divided light from darkness. He made a distinction between the two. So God created light and darkness. God called the light day, and the night he called and the dark he called night, right? And so that this is, when you outline, all you're doing is you're just kind of giving the highlights of it, and then you could fill in, all kinds of stuff. Do you see how now you could take this and start studying? I could take this part of the outline and start studying light and darkness. That is a fascinating study, especially if you study darkness. Darkness is not the absence of light. When you study your Bible, you'll find that God created darkness. It's a thing, amen? And it has to flee when light shows up. It's not that darkness is just the absence of light. It's that God has created it such that darkness, it has to run out of the way when light shows up. And that's what you'll find when you study that topic. But all this did was, it just gave us an outline, and we could drill deeper if we want. All right, day two, verse number 6. Who wants to read verse 6 through 8? Kyle Thomas.
And God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. And God made the firmament, and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven, and the evening and the morning were the second day.
Second day, yeah. So a firmament. What is the firmament? Well, God called the firmament heaven, and he created the firmament to divide the waters. Now, this is a fun one. Say, what do you mean? You mean to tell me there was so much water that it covered the whole earth? And remember, because up here, I guess that won't work if I touch that one. It'll work if I touch this one. Up here, darkness, let's see, the earth was without form and void. Darkness was upon the face of the deep. Everything was covered in water at this point. And then by day two, God creates this firmament, this expanse, and he actually separated the waters. So now you have the waters on earth and then the waters above. You say, where are the waters above? I don't know. If I was to just kind of give my thoughts on it, I would believe, not in a canopy theory at this point, I believe that outside of our universe is a big ring of water. Because what did he set in the firmament on day four? This is what outlining will do for you. He made two great lights, and he set all the lights, the sun, moon, stars, he set them, we'll see on day four, in the firmament, right? And so by the text, if you stay simple to the text, it seems like there is this big ring of water outside. You say, well, that would be a lot of water. We don't know how much water there was, you know? So God does things big. It's kind of the way he is. Amen? Did you have a question? Yeah, you can study that, but at the end of the day, you're going to find that God has revealed himself to his creation, and the whole Bible is about this creation. The Bible is not about where God came from. Well, it's just accepted by faith.
It just challenged me with that question.
You could ask all kinds of questions, right? but we're going to be limited to answer those based on what God has given. And it is under, the Bible approaches us to say basically it's understood that God exists and he's eternal. As far as we're concerned, and as far as the Bible, no beginning of days, no end of life. You can either accept that or reject that. If you want to know more than that, get saved, and then when you're in heaven, you can ask God that question. Yeah. Beyond that, you're not going to understand. So as we outline, and see what happened right there was, that was called a phew, tangent, right? And you would, as you study the outline, you could attach that maybe to in the beginning. You could ask that question all the way up there in the days of creation. In the beginning, God created heaven and earth. Okay, well, if God created heaven and earth, you can put a little question off to the side and say, when did God begin? But that would be attached to your outline. That's not in the outline because the scripture doesn't give us that info. When you outline, try to be disciplined to just outline the text. And you may have questions too about the firmament. The firmament, is there more than one firmament? Because when you start studying heaven, you're going to find there's actually three heavens. So was this firmament just the first heaven? Was it the second heaven? Was it the third heaven? You can ask those questions, but don't let that mess up your outline. When you outline, you're just outlining that text, and you're going to discipline yourself to that. Do not let yourself speculate out. This is not for speculation. An outline is for stating the facts. Does that make sense? Because you're going to go back to that outline, and you're going to force yourself to live in that outline. Otherwise, you're going to be out somewhere in left field, and you've connected a bunch of dots that maybe shouldn't even have been a dot in the first place, right? And so we want to be very careful. But that's how we outline. Amen? And there's more here. This is great. I just put this together just real quick. And so we're out of time. But what I'd like for you to do is pick a passage and outline it. But I want you to stay true to the text. I just want you to outline that text. That you can use fancy words if that's how you want to outline, right? But when you do that, stay true to the text. Make sense? And then we'll see what you got next week. Let you display that. And we'll add to it. And then what's really going to be fun is when we outline not just a text, but when we outline a topic, that takes on a whole new form of study. And so we'll do that too. So let's pray. Thank you, God, for today. Thank you for this time together. Lord, I pray that you would encourage our church in our class here in learning to outline. And Lord, I know that we can outline in reference to your word really anything there. And so lead us and guide us in this. Help this to be a great help to each of us as we just seek to understand your word. We love you. We thank you. Give us a good week as we seek to outline some scripture in Jesus' name. Amen.